focused with. They were brought up in a Christian home and said, but I was never educated in Christianity. I thought, yeah, that's right. You need to be educated in Christianity. There's something to learn. And Jesus said to those guys, follow me. He didn't just send them straight away. He didn't even empower them straight away. First, he trained them. He trained them by walking with him, following him, listening to him, getting sent out on little mini missions to cast out demons, heal the sick, do some preaching themselves, all the time learning to serve other people. They were taught from day one that the 12 and the 72 weren't called to positions of power and authority, but were actually called to lose their lives and to become the servants of men. And that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And we want to just talk you through the course, basically, and then give you the opportunity to come to. We're going to break into groups at some point and pray for each other and share a little bit about what we want to get out of the course, if we know that. Here's some stuff that the first thing I think I'd like you to understand is sort of the rhythm of the course. It says there, disciple equals learner. So if you're on the course, you're putting a big hand plate deliberately on yourself and submitting yourself to some training. In fact, it's a lifelong learning, isn't it, following Jesus? No matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter how long you've been a minister, if you're not learning, you're not following, you think you know it all, right? You're in a sad situation. You know, we need to be little kids and just want to know more of God and want to move in more power, more faith. And, being a disciple is about being a learner. That's what the word actually means. It's got nothing to do with discipline, being under discipline or anything like that. It just means being an apprentice of Jesus. You know, not just a receiver, but I'll say on Sunday, but someone who wants to actually learn, I want to grow and change. I'm going to follow you, I'm going to watch you. I'm going to receive little tasks from you, do what you say, seek you, I'm going to put my heart and will, my body on the line to do it. That's what it means. And so, just want to encourage you in terms of commitment first, to absolutely get hold of this, everything that you can during this year, and not to be too chilled about it, because it is unique, and it's a four weeks per topic, so you know. Our topics, Group 61, you've done it already, so you know, Holy Spirit, this month is the Holy Spirit month. Is that a nice start? It's all about you, Holy Spirit, this month. So that's going to be our focus for the whole month, in and outside of this week. And it's a month on and a month off, so bear that in mind, you know. If you're struggling to get here one night, struggle but get here. You know, if you bust a gut, to get there for that month, because next month you're off. You can chill. We did it that way deliberately. We want to be a chill church, but not so chill to stop. You know, we want to push and then rest, and push and then rest. But if it's a push month, I want to encourage you to push and get here. The devil will try and stop you from getting here. It's not being super spiritual, it's being real. You know, he will. So you have to push through some stuff, some snow and ice, and how we're feeling, and what's been happening outside of here, to get here and receive a unique learning experience, actually. And we all learn in different ways, so we're going to try to put loads of different ways of learning in here in through the years we're going on. What's the next one? And understanding is the key. You know, I was just reading about, before I came out, or yesterday I was reading Acts 2, where, you know, the Holy Spirit's poured out. And when the Holy Spirit's poured out, it provoked two questions in the people. One was, what does this mean? You know, the Spirit's poured out at Pentecost, the apostles are speaking in tongues, there's power, there's life, the crowd gather, and they ask two questions. One, what does this mean? Peter explains what it means. Having explained what it means, it provokes another question, what should we do? And then he tells them what to do, repent, get baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus, then receive the Holy Spirit and be added to the church. He tells them what to do. And I think sometimes we jump to what to do too quick. It's just like, just tell me what to do, Lord, I'll just do it. But God doesn't want you like that, actually. He wants to ask the first question first. What does this mean? Give me some understanding so that when I do what you're asking me to do, I know why. I know the direction my life's heading in. I know what you're doing with me. What does it mean? So you're moving from, you don't want to be just sitting down, receiving, oh, that was good, that was good. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. You want to learn, you want to understand. You know, if you're going to be a Christian who can handle the Word of God, who can discern in the Holy Spirit what's happening, really help other people, really set people free, really ride a wave, the biggest wave we've ever ridden, not caught, then it takes some skill, doesn't it, to ride a wave? Do you think that guy rode a few smaller ones? He did. You know, he's determined, he's committed, someone dragged him out there. He's absolutely going for it, he's a bit scared, it's courage, it's all sorts of things. But it is some skill and balance. He's learned to do that before he could do that. And that's exactly the same for us. You know, we need to, absolutely go for it. Run the race that's marked out for you, the writer of Hebrews says. Run, you know, not loiter, not stroll, and not run someone else's race either, by the way. Not run with weights you're not meant to carry. In fact, he speaks earlier about shedding sin and things that entangle you. But he does say, well, Christianity is a run. He says, run with perseverance the race that's marked out for you. God will show you clearly where to run, but you're expected to move. You've got to run. And that makes some effort and some direction and some momentum. And that's what we want to help you to do. But, you know, with that also understanding, it's marked out for you. You know where you're running. You know what the next marker is for you. You know where you're headed. It's got direction involved. Understanding is really, really important. You know, the parable of the sower, Matthew 13:23, Jesus says that the people who produce a hundredfold for God are those hearts where that receive the word, understand it, and bear fruit. It's really important we understand the word of God, that we understand what we do in our lives. So we want you to learn, we want you to be able to stop the speaking. So these aren't just preachers, you know, it's more like a classroom, it's more like a Bible school, so you can stop me any time you want, or any of the other speakers. In fact, if it's another speaker, you can stop them twice as much. And just say, what are you talking about? Sorry, I don't get that. I thought you said last time that, and then we'll learn together, aren't we? Because there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that balances other things. And, oh yeah, I did say that, but actually what I really mean is da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And someone else has something to bring as well. I'm going to learn together instead of it just being like, well, just listen and believe it all and hear half of it and go home. If you don't understand something, please just stop. And if we don't get it in that culture, we'll help with that. So we'll keep stopping and say, any questions, any thoughts? Anyone disagree with this? You try and bring a bit of interaction and life into it. Not for the sake of it, but for the sake of understanding. So we go deeper. See, that happened with Jesus all the time, wasn't it? The disciples. The crowd listened to him talk. Parable thought, that was nice. Come on, I've got a chicken in the oven. I'm off home. The disciples, probably about 70, probably your number, probably the number of our church right now, 70 odd, hung around with those 12 and came to him and said, listen, when you said that earlier, what are you talking about? What did you mean? He loved that. He said, say that, I'll tell you. Listen, when I said the seed, the sower, that's me. When I said the seed, that's the word of God. When I said the field, that's the world. He explained to them. They went deeper. You know why? Because they were disciples. Other people were just attending the crowds. Did you get healed today? Yeah, I got so close to him, I got healed. Fantastic. Awesome, let's go home again. Other people were disciples. We keep talking about it as a leadership team, you know, thinking about, I mean, it's very early days to think about a second tier of leaders. But to be honest, you're it. If you want to be it, you know, you're as much leaders of the church as you want to be. And we're going to train you this year. We're going to teach you everything we know. Take about 10 minutes. But there we are. You know, we're going to open our hearts to teach you everything we know about God, everything we've learned about God over the years. It's not everything, it's something. And together we're going to learn more as well as we prepare. But those 70, you know, Jesus had two tiers, didn't he? He had 12 apostles that he called. Then he didn't have, like, a little group of deacons underneath that. It's interesting. Jesus didn't. The other church did. I'll get to that in a minute. But Jesus had a big jump to 70 now. And used the 70 in exactly the same way as he used the 12. They had the same instructions, the same mission. Go, preach the gospel, cast out demons, tell me how to come back. He loved them and invested in them. That's what A61 is. You know, you're the first batch that God's given us. And we're going to have a church of multi hundreds and probably thousands of people. You know, if I was honest to see that. But I'm sure we'll have many, many hundreds. I do, I really think that. And we keep saying, you know, this is about you. Who's going to train them? Who's going to mentor them? Who's going to help them? Well, you, if you want to. You know, we're going to train you as we train as I'm training the team, as me and Margaret train the team. Me and Margaret mentoring the team. All of us will mentor you this year. Anyway, so understanding's important. So questions and answers, stop speaking. Let's go to the next little slide there, go.
Yeah, the top one? You mentioned about the top one.
Did I mention that? Each night is different. So yeah, we do different stuff every night. I can't think of what I was meant to say, but it'll be different every night. And do you want to just have a look at your journals for me? You think these are cool little journals?
Yeah. Well done, Andy.
Some people have not got the journals of it. If you haven't got one, there's a few more of them, we'll get some more. And if you can show your names there. I think they're people who couldn't get them, actually. Or if you haven't got a journal, I'll get them a couple of them. Grab one else. I'm just talking through the journal now, I'm going to use it. Journaling is really helpful and really important, actually. We want you to be able to log this year and track your own progress so you can see what you're doing. It's for your sake, really. And just for the sake of inspiring you to begin to journal and write down what God's saying to you, prophecies, words you're going to get during this year, lessons you've learned, it's personal. You know, you might go through quite a few things and think, haven't learned anything, but then you get someone else and think, I don't want to forget that. That cost me something, I need to write that down. And you've learned a lesson. Write it down and remember it, or something you want God to do for you. It's important for you to be able to look back. A year is a long time. So I'll tell you, when you get to November and December, you won't remember this bit. It's awesome to be able to flip back to the Holy Spirit month and see what the Holy Spirit did for you and see what he said to you. And even look back and say, praise God, the Holy Spirit month, I said I wanted to be there, I'm there. I've definitely got there. I'm living in a totally different place in God, in the Holy Spirit. That's exciting, isn't it? To be able to track it and see where you've come. Some people journal all their life, don't they? But, you know, it takes a bit of time and effort, which is probably really helpful. I should probably do it, but I'll be honest, I never have. But I'm going to, because I've got an LA 61 book. So I'm going to do it this year with you. And if you could bring it each week, that'd be helpful, because we're going to use it in the sessions sometimes. So sometimes we're going to be, sit down and sort out journals, we're going to have 15 minutes of journaling, listen to the Holy Spirit, what's he saying to you about this? And hearing the voice of God and stuff like that. So we've broken it down into like just being healthy, as you can see. So it basically runs, diet. So it's just to do with, you know, what you're feeding on spiritually, how you do with your Bible reading, anything God's saying to you in your Bible reading. I'm going to sort of help you with a bit of direct Bible reading in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute. But how you're doing in your relationship with God in terms of what you're feeding on or what you're stopping feeding on. You know, these days people are into healthy eating, aren't they, apparently? And, we all know what 5 a day means and all that. But spiritually, that's not necessarily the case. You know, if we could all see visibly, you know, some of us who look pretty well fed might be starving to death. Our souls might look like children starving in Africa, or just be poisoned on rubbish. Because we feed our souls on rubbish. What goes into our eyes, our ears, what we receive, what we believe, lies we believe from the enemy can be absorbed. We want to change our diet. When you're a parent, you're responsible for your kid's diet. You are. And you decide whether you're trash because you've got the authority to do it. We have the control over our own life, or at least we're getting it back. It's part of what week 61 is about, but you know, as we keep receiving stuff and we keep getting our hearts here, we're taking back control over our own life, which is God's will for us at the beginning. So we did with Adam. We gave him a total freedom. He didn't run him like a puppet on a string. He was a man who freed himself, and Eve was a woman totally free. And they lost their own liberty and freedom to sin. And that's what we're getting back in Jesus. Not to become puppets, but to be absolutely free again. And so it's important what we're eating and stuff. And, you know, the Word of God is essential, isn't it? Some of us have never cracked it. Reading the Bible regularly, enjoying it. Oh, God, what we can do this year, we can do it together. And we've got some stuff that can help you with that. So that's to sort of track that. And then strength is to do with, you know, what I'm doing. Serving. If you're not taking action out of what you're learning, you're not learning, nothing's happening. Out of this year, through this year, there should be seeds sown and then coming out in ministry, in acts of service, in changed actions and different kind of obedience to God and stuff working for you, doing stuff. If you're not doing stuff, then it's all just here, isn't it? You know, it's in a meeting, it's in your head, or it's in your journal, but it's not in your life. Faith is a muscle, and you have to use it. You know, one of the guys, I was Andy, we talked about living by faith, trusting God, and you know, really feel that God challenged me about living by faith, more trusting God financially over issues and things like that. You know what? Now's the time to start when you're single. Because it's rock when you've got a family, you're still doing it. But if you start when you're a young Christian or when you're single, believing God like that, that faith muscle builds, and you can do it as everything grows, as the bills grow, as everything else grows, you can keep doing it. You've got to believe God for £1 before you believe God for £1 million, that's just the truth. And you've got to start somewhere. Maybe you lived on your own means right up to this point, probably have. Well, that can change. You can start to take faith, steps of faith. And journal them. We're talking about journaling it. What steps of faith am I challenged to take? What action? What am I going to do? And some of it, in terms of ministry, you know, has to do with, you know, becoming a servant and, you know, serving the church, wherever there's need, serving each other, serving your family, serving maybe your work, and just have a different attitude. You learn that. Sons of Adam and daughters of Eve are not born natural servants. We're not. We look after number one and only serve when we absolutely have to. That's why, you know, the biggest help towards becoming a servant is having kids, isn't it? Having kids. That's why I have, you know, having a family is one of the, it doesn't mean you can't serve the Lord if you're single, don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is, it actually says in the scriptures that one of the qualifications for eldership is running a family. Why? Because kids force you to be selfless. And there's no big crown of glory for any parent here, because they don't give you a choice to look out. You know, 2 o'clock in the morning, they don't give you a choice. You are going to get up, you are going to clean me, you are going to mop up this sink, you are going to wash these pots and make the next meal, you are going to do it. Now, kids can help you towards that. But actually, doing that stuff out of love and a servant heart, something you learn. That doesn't come naturally to anybody. But Jesus was a servant all the time. In fact, the word ministry means servant. The leaders of the church, you know, use the word leaders, which is an interesting word because it's hardly ever used in the Bible. Hardly ever, ever. We have leadership conferences. It's interesting because it's almost always used negatively in the New Testament. Like the leaders of Israel, we get the leaders was a negative thing. It's interesting, isn't it? Jesus' apostles were ministers, and the word ministry means servant. Doesn't mean you're a doormat. It means you're a servant of God and other people. And it's a special, it's an honor, but it is serving. It's not a position of power. It's not meant to be. It's meant to be a position of honor to God. And that's something, you know, we have to learn. Have to learn to take initiative and do whatever you can. And what, you know, from small seeds that you, steps that you take this year, ministries can be born. I really mean that. I'm talking about international, world-shaking ministries can be born from this room. I'm talking about national ministries. I'm talking about ministries that will shape this town. Ministries, lifelong ministries begin in local churches, but only with people who take initiative in the right way. Not with an attitude, not cocky, not doing my own thing, but under God, doing what needs to be done, and then doing where they see there's a gap, and then doing what their heart, the Holy Spirit is speaking to them. You know, when we started off, me and Margaret, we were in, I was working full time in St. Aidan's, what was St. Aidan's then, with those guys. And it was a really hard time for us. I was in the 20s, and it went a bit pear-shaped. Senior guy, he was a beautiful guy, saint, had a massive breakdown. I'd never seen a nervous breakdown close up, but I was in the absolute middle of it. I was only a kid, you know. To know what was happening to my hero, to my pastor. And I was absolutely devastated. We ended up leaving the church, me and Margaret, partly to protect him, because his wife had asked us not to share certain things with the rest of the team. Really complicated. Didn't know whether I was doing the right thing or not. I was only in my 20s. We ended up leaving the church. Felt like getting divorced. We loved these people with our hearts, so left the church. God spoke to us, I wouldn't do anything. Never do anything unless God gives you the tick to you guys. We were in agony, didn't know what to do. In the end, God spoke to us, left the church, and went to Emmanuel Fellowship. I was a preacher in that church, and the youth pastor and worship leader.
Oh, yes.
And I got to Emmanuel Fellowship, which was like the biggest church in history. At that point, we had 400 members. I was like, 400 members! And they were like, it was like awful because we were new. But I cottoned on real quick that there was no space for them for ministry here. They had a queue of guys going out the door waiting for eldership. They had preachers coming out their ears. And they were good at that. You know, they were on the stage and all that. I thought, do you know what? I had the Holy Spirit. I had some fire. What if there's something? So I thought, there's nothing happening in this building. It was the summer. I was working for the church. When I left the church, I lost my job as well. I needed two things, a job. It's quite well, we started to reorientate and find what I want for our lives. And I also needed to do something for Jesus. You need to do something, don't you? We need to do something for Jesus. We're only alive once, aren't we? It's gone. I mean, look at me. Look at the age that I am. It's scary to me. I've just lost my spots and my hair fell out. Age just goes and comes over me, doesn't it? And so I needed a job and prayed, and God got this gardener in the church, gave me a job with him planting trees. And he planted 10,000 trees. When I was planting these trees, you know, I was planning to go to Bible college. I thought, I need to get some more training, I need to go to Bible college. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And someone had offered to pay for it as well, which helped. My two kids, and but I thought I need to do something. I was praying with you know, my brother's friends, Pete Conroy and Jess Fletcher, praying, God, what should we do? What should we try to do? And I found a little box of Bibles in the church building, a box of about 400 Bibles. No one was using, no one wanted. So I said to the leaders, do you do anything with these Bibles? They said, no. So I got my mate and me. We went door knocking evangelism and printing out Bibles. I've never done door knocking in my life. I hate the thought of it. But you know what? It was awesome. It was really scary, but awesome. And we had a reason to go. We had Bibles. We'd knock on a door. We gave away 400 Bibles that summer at the people's homes. Knocking on doors in the yard. People come to the door and say, hi, away from the local church. Hi, away from the local church. Lots of them, you know, those days they waited a little bit. And we were just doing about a questionnaire about the Bible. Do you own a Bible? No, I don't think so. That's interesting. Have you ever owned a Bible? Okay, fair enough. Actually, we've got some free Bibles we're giving away. Would you like a Bible? And we set the bar really low. You know, for us, like, a good day was if we could give a Bible away. So we didn't get too discouraged. We weren't trying to win people to Jesus, because that would be a big mistake in terms of encouragement. So if we got handed the Bible out, we were happy. But you know what? We did win people to Jesus. We got invited in people's homes. We handed out hundreds of Bibles and got rejected thousands of times. Most of the time, nicely. Really nicely. Hardly ever nastily. It was a hard but enjoyable, interesting summer. And best of all, it was some initiative, and I was doing something for Jesus that no one in that church was doing. The other thing we decided to do after praying was just to go out on the streets and talk to people about Jesus. So we went on the Yarm High Street every Friday night. While people were doing the pub crawl, we were doing the evangelism crawl. We'd stand on the streets, of course a bit scared, a bit nervous, but we'd start early when people weren't too drunk. But to be honest, the best conversations were when people had a skin full. and we'd wait for people to come along, and just gangs of people going from pub to pub drinking. We'd have a little questionnaire board, which made you feel secure, and we'd say, hey, we're from the local church. We're from the local church. What does that mean? Nothing, you know. And we're just doing a questionnaire. Have you got 5 minutes? Obviously, loads of people. But actually, when people have had a couple of pints, very often, let's just do this questionnaire with these guys. Oh, that's really good. Do you believe in God? Nah, that's fine. Don't believe in God. Have you ever been to church? No. Have you ever had a spiritual experience? Well, you was gone. Last year, my mum died. We had this hundreds and hundreds of times. We had awesome conversations with people about Jesus, meaningful conversations. Often people said that they said, and say, listen, I know they've given me a bit of grief, but when I walk my dog on the beach in the morning and I see the sun coming up, I know there's a God. Do you know what, mate? You're right, there is a God. And when you're walking your dog on that beach, just remember, he loves you. His name is Jesus. If you never want to cry out for a mate, for any situation that comes into your life, thanks, buddies. Awesome. See you, mate. See you. Alcohol can be our servant. It can help us. Did I find that easy? No. Door knocking and street evangelism is not easy. But I was, honestly, I wasn't doing it because I was an evangelist. I was doing it because there was nothing else to do. All the other bases in this church were covered. But you know what God loves? Initiative. Action. Just do something for Jesus. Make something happen this year. You can do it. It's got to come out of this, of learning and stuff. And you know something? Then, in September, we go to Bible College. It's our last Sunday in the big, bouncy, thriving church. We were at the back. I think you were there last day, Sarah. And we were going out. And Ian Kirby, the pastor, was standing shaking hands as we were going out. And literally, this is the truth, as I'm going out the door for the last time to Bible College, thinking, I don't know where, I'm going to Scotland, and I don't know where I'm going after that, God, but I'm up for anything. He shook my hand and kept going and said, Martin, when you finish Bible school, come back here. You've got a job on the staff as an evangelist. I said, thanks, I think. And I walked inside, said to Margaret, am I an evangelist? He said, I'm an evangelist. He said, I've got a job. I worked there for 15 years when I came back. I was an evangelist in the making. If I'd have sat comfy in the church, I'd have never known that. I had to get out and prove that I was an evangelist. And do you know something? God has put seeds and dreams and ministries in this room. I'm telling you, what we're going to do is going to be massive. It's going to be international. It's going to be Europe. And these things within you, you know what? You're just in the right place at the right time. You've got to be in the right place at the right time, haven't you? Well, let me tell you, you're here. That was the other thing I read in Acts of the Apostles the other day. It was interesting. Jesus said to them, do not leave Jerusalem, didn't he? Before he went into heaven, he said to the apostles, and the 70, actually, and about 50 women as well. That makes 120. That was Jesus' congregation, actually, 120. Jesus wasn't bothered about from big numbers. He was bothered about having a trained, ready 120 to run away from it. That's what he was bothered about. And he said to them, do not leave Jerusalem. I thought that was interesting. But wait until the promise of my Father comes. It's the first time I've ever seen that in my life. I mean, couldn't they be filled with the Holy Spirit in Galilee? Isn't the Holy Spirit everywhere? Isn't it the most natural thing for them all to go back to Galilee, their hometowns? Couldn't they be filled with the Holy Spirit? No. You know what? There was a place. Where you are matters. You have to be in the right place at the right time, and time matters as well. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, there was a bunch of people in the right place at the right time. Do you know what? That's you. a Burundian believer is. You've got to be in the right place at the right time to catch a massive move of God's Holy Spirit. It's really, really important. So strength means what you're doing. What are you doing? Who are you serving? You know, we're not just to collect prophecies all our life, like stamps. You know, but another awesome word about another awesome word. They've got to be fulfilled. They're only fulfilled as we take action, even if it's directed action. Respiratory is obviously to do with breathing and heart stuff. So that's to do with being filled with the Holy Spirit. How are you doing with prayer? Your prayer life? I mean, this year, I would like you and me to get a prayer life where we actually believe that everything we ask is going to be answered. If we really believe that, we just pray. If we really believe Jesus when he said, you can ask for anything you want. Ask in my name. Ask and you will receive. If we really believe that, we'd just be praying all the time. We'd be asking and receiving, asking and receiving, asking and receiving. That's breath. And then heart, obviously, is very important to us. We want you to keep going with your heart healing. There's a whole month of this on heart healing, which will be much deeper and awesome than like a big group 61 revival, I think. But it's, you know, the heart issues, it goes on, it's important. The tools you learned at group 61 are meant to be part of our life. We do this in the team. How are you doing up out and in? You know, we say, how are you doing? Not just how are you doing. Oh, I'm all right. No, I'm not good enough. How are you doing in your relationship with God? Right, three things. How are you doing in your relationship with God? How are you doing internally? How are you doing in your ministry? Well, then you get some real answers, don't you? Oh, well, I think I'm all right in my relationship with God. Inwardly, I'm really down. I'm sad. Why is that then? I don't know. Well, let's find out. If you're doing great with God, and you're doing okay in ministry, but you're deeply unhappy, there's something wrong. The Holy Spirit's after healing something. We have to get some light on it and help you find it. Or if you're massively happy and awesome with God, what are you doing? Nothing really. Just going to work and coming back. Not good enough. Jesus has stuff for you to do in every period of your life. What are you? Where's your ministry developing? What are you doing for others? What have you done for other people this week? It's going to change lives. And you can be doing well with the altar. Your relationship with God matters as well. And then Pulse is just basically in the bottom of one of those sheets you'll read Pulse. And on the front it explains what it is. It's just to check your, it's just to be aware of what you like and what you don't like. So every month, we're going to take our pulse and say, was my pulse racing there? Or was I bored there? And you know what? It's all right. If you think, you know, well, I found that fairly interesting. I absolutely love the month about the gospel and the Holy Spirit and healing. Well, you're probably embarrassed, probably, you know. But if that doesn't turn you on that much, then you know, I love the heart healing stuff and the grace stuff, you're probably more pastoral. That's fine. You know, if you love the M61 stuff, the international stuff, listen, what matters is, through this year, you and we get a clearer picture of your actual calling and ministry. Because you're not just meant to serve anywhere, although you need to at first. And you're not just meant to, you know, play the field, although it's very good for you to do that. In the end, we need to know whether you're a striker, or a goalie, or a defender. And have you played where you to your strength. And the church is multi-hundreds. We can't afford to have Mark making tea and coffee every week, if that absolutely wipes him out, and he's a fantastically gifted Bible teacher, which he probably is. Because do you know what? What we really need you exhausted in is nothing, but what we need you stretched in and full of is teaching that Bible and getting awesome messages from God and teaching people on this, on A61, or, you know, whatever else the Holy Spirit's leading us to do then. And do you know what? If you have a massive gift of hospitality, which is a spiritual gift mentioned in the Bible, and you love welcoming people and meeting people, You have an anointing of the Holy Spirit to do that. It is a waste of time. You stood up in the end, speaking through, fumbling through things that you're struggling with, when you'd rather be running the most anointing coffee station in England and having people full of love and touched in their heart and received and welcomed. Right, because that's what you call to do for that period of time. Those things change all the time, everyone else is true. So anyway, let's keep rolling. Mentoring, the other thing we'd like to experience students here is one-to-one mentoring. All of you will be mentored by the senior team in this first 3 months. And then some of you, we'd like you to mentor some people who are coming in May. Obviously, there's 3 starts to this. So you're the start. In this year, there'll be 3 batches of people in. This is a rolling program, it's not going to stop. I'm just going to keep doing this until Jesus comes back. So there's 26 people signed up for Route 61 on Thursday. Hopefully, many of those 26 will be coming in May. There'll be a whole bunch of other people doing Route 61 after Easter. Will be coming in hopefully in September. So who's going to mentor them? Well, obviously, we're not going to be able to do that because we're going to be mentoring you. But what we would like you to do is get faith and confidence and understanding enough to be able to do it for them and help them. Because it's very simple, actually, and very clear what it is and what it isn't. It's not pastoring, so it's not, how are you doing? How's it going to work this week? I might be wondering that, but what it is focused on A61. It's related to every module. So it's 2 hours of, how did you do it with the Holy Spirit move? Where were you struggling? Which bits were awesome for you? What's God doing? And use your journal to do that. That's why you get your journal back out with your mentor and remind yourself of this. I just don't get this at all. And your mentor's there just as a reflection to help you reflect, really. Again, it's about learning and understanding and someone to talk to over a coffee for about a specific issue. And that person will spend 2 hours with you every module. So on the month off, they'll meet you for 2 hours. So it's not like, you know, I'll meet you every week for an hour. Some reality will never happen. But 2 hours will happen. That's what we can give. And it's what hopefully you can give to the next group of people, if you want to. And who will be mentoring who? We haven't actually decided yet, because we need to see exactly who's really going to turn up. Not just on paper, but obviously the senior team mentoring you guys, so the women are going to meet and sort of decide who mentors who, and we'll let you guys know as well. But it'll be us. And the team will go through it as well, we're not going to mention the team, so there'll be like the mentor will have some specific questions to help focus. So it won't be a drifting 2 hours of how we do it. It will be, how are we dealing with this? What's happening with that? And so on. Is that clear? By the way, you can stop me tonight and ask me questions as well. But we might get answered on the next screen. And serving again. How are you doing with serving? Are you serving anywhere in the church? Yeah, do the kids work? How are you doing with that? I hate it. Really? Why is that? Carolyn hits me with a large stick. Really? I'm going to ring Ian and tell him. It's for stuff like that as well. You know, work the kids work, but family a bit hard work and all that. Wouldn't I do the crash? Really? Okay. We'll talk to them. It's to help you as well. Or what you do in serving anywhere in the church. Because when we were in the building, we had loads of opportunities to serve tech and welcome and caretaking and cleaning and 101 different things. Probably 100 more, we've got 10 earlier. But somewhere where you can serve. And you'll be encouraged to do that, you know. Not forced, obviously, but encouraged to not just roll. And even on this course, you know, we want to just provoke that. So every week, a couple of volunteers, who's going to tie you up this week? Do you know what that helps you do? Just helps you own the church, helps you own the ministry. You're like, oh yeah, someone set up the chairs down. Oh yeah, someone takes the stuff down and sets it up. Oh yeah, someone does a tea coffee and washes it up. It's A61 is about moving from being a passenger to actually driving the church. And part of the church is just housekeeping. it's just like the chores, isn't it? You know, ask our kids to do something. You know, I've already done the dishwasher. I've already done the dishwasher. Just a chore. Even the dishwasher, because you eat here and you live here. That's called life. You just do that. I've got something specific that I'd like you to do when you're not in the shed. Do you understand? So that if something's just basic, if we're running church, which is an organisation, when we get on Teesside Park, there's going to be hundreds of people coming through the doors, and we're going to need serving, it's going to need to be organised, and we're going to keep quality of what we're doing, and make sure people remain in the things so that we get saved and sorted and healed, and the other stuff doesn't get in the way. You know, I mean, jumping up and the microphone doesn't work. That's never happened in this church, is it? You know, we want to have a high organisation bar and a high tech bar, actually, to go with the high Holy Spirit anointing bar. You can have the most anointed ministry in the world, but if no one can hear you, just speaking to three people. So those things go together. And that's the same. Let's keep jumping along. Sorry, this is a while, but it's the only way I'll ever do this. There's also recommended reading for you to do, and some Bible reading. So we want to help you grow in every area. So here's what you want to do. One book of the Bible for each module. So the book this month, you might have guessed, it's Acts of the Apostles. That's why I read chapter 1 yesterday to get a jump on. So if you can make a note of that if you want. But the book of the Bible is Acts of the Apostles. We want to do some reading together. You know, whatever you do in your own reading as well, that's fine. But if you can do this as well, that would be awesome. The book of Acts isn't that big. It's 20-odd chapters, so you can easily do it in a month with one chapter. If you're a good reader, read it a couple of times, awesome. But the point isn't to read loads, the point is to read, to learn, to go deeper. The seeking of the Holy Spirit. There isn't a book in the Bible that's more full of the Holy Spirit and prayer than Acts. Read and enjoy it. I like the Holy Spirit speak to you. So that's the book we want to be looking at this month. There's also recommended reading for each module. And this is the recommended reading for this module. And we're gonna sell you some books if you want to buy them. If you don't want to buy them, that's fine, but you can share them and borrow them off each other, not off us, because we're already bought them midway back. So there's two books this month. And the books for this two months. They're both to do with the Holy Spirit. They're both absolutely awesome. We're not going to recommend anything we haven't read and reread and thought. We're only going to do that every month because it would be unreality to recommend books we don't really know. This is the classic book on evangelism and the Holy Spirit. And a fantastic, awesome story. David Wilkerson's story about God took a Pentecostal pastor and through some choices he made, like spending time praying instead of watching television, God shook the world through, actually. It's a fact. The charismatic renewal was born because of this book and the appendix of this book, which I think I shared with you on Vision Day. It's an awesome book. It's a moving and anointed book. Millions and millions of people have been blessed by that. Across the switchblade, I think it's £6.39. We're selling you them for exactly what we bought. You know, I think that's probably obvious to you. We're a non-profit making church at the moment. Hopefully, one of our drive Cadillac for aging. So, for exactly what we want them for, we're selling them. So, and we're recommending that you know, you just read one. We're not saying buy two. And if you read one of these and one book of the Bible in 2 months, that is going some, if you ask me. Some of us aren't natural readers. Some of us are fantastic readers. Some of us aren't. And this book by Ryan Hart is absolutely fantastic book on the Holy Spirit. It's not massive, but it's massively powerful. And I've read it and reread it. It's one of my favourite books. Awesome. Holy Spirit, Revelation, Revolution. That's £8. And if you skin, you know,
tonight.
Just...
Are they available tonight?
Yeah, they're all over there. You can buy them. And then DVD. Every module, we're going to recommend the DVD. An awesome DVD. And this one's awesome. This one's really like a Route 61 DVD reading, but you'll love it. It's Fruits of Revival, I think you'll love it, from Toronto. It's interviews with people who had their lives changed, often leaders and pastors. And some of the guys in here are great friends of ours. You know, Andy knows a bunch of these people from Toronto. But Duncan and Kate Smith are on here, who are great friends of mine and Margaret's. And they that by the look of it, they're going to come and do a weekend for us in May when we get in the building. So it was just awesome. It's really moving and inspiring to see what the Holy Spirit does when he comes on a bunch of people and we keep going with him. So that's a tenner. That's my choice. No, not a big one. Anyway, but that's over there, and it's up to you. And obviously, you know what? If you don't know money, you can get your back and borrow it. That's what I've done for years with Stuart. So, Book of the Bible Tax. They're the books for this module, and that's the DVD for this module. You've got one there, man. There's a little money thing over there, and the price of the books down there as well. So, we've got the next little thing. We're not going to have small groups. It's not like Route 61 where it's all cozy and friends, and well, we are friends. This is the coziness. We want the group. We want to have one God experience together, because like we keep saying, we see this as the team, really. So we want you to be one group. So in the breakout groups that are going to have, it's going to be anyone. And it's not going to be all spoon-fed by the senior team as well. It's the senior team that are going to look after every group. Now, five of you go over there, pick a leader, do this. It's a bit more freer and interactive. You know, treat you more as the team as you know. There'll be different tasks, you know, some just fun, but often stretching, maybe a bit challenging, you know, to do different things. But you know, encourage spiritual gifts and get you away from the garden and get you used to using the microphone and speaking and things like that. So. But not too scary. Please come back tomorrow next week. And obviously, you get priority on A61. Yeah, opportunities. So, you know, obviously, you want to do Wales and Estonia, but there'll be, as other things come up, you will be the people who will be picking to take with us, because you want to train you. And you can't do all the training you need to do in the classroom like this. You need to do it in the field and in real ministry situations as well. So, there'll be some real ministry situations coming directly out of this. We're doing some stuff out there together, but also, there'll be lots more travelling stuff. It's going to be opening up for Paul, Andy, Stuart, Ian, and myself, but not like away from church roads, but opportunities to take you out places and move you again. We'll be taking with us for that. So we won't just offer it to people in the church now. Now we started at Route A61, it'll be trying to come with us. And Tom's got awesome open doors as well. He goes to China and Bulgaria and Stockton sometimes. let's keep rolling. So
the ministry team as well for like Sundays.
Oh, sorry, yeah, and we see you as much as you want to be, we hope you want to be, as we're going to have to develop a ministry team, aren't we? It's not good the leaders pray with everyone every week. We need you to pray with everyone every week, and hundreds of people come to South Park. So we want to develop a ministry team in two different ways, really. Sunday morning ministry team, that is praying and ministering with the Holy Spirit, helping people receive the Holy Spirit, healing, deliverance, that kind of stuff. And also, when you're confident with that, and then also ministering for Sunday nights, which is primarily going to be leading people through to Christ, repentance, faith, prayer of salvation. Have you understood that? You know, being able to confidently lead someone through who said yes to Jesus, the walk from the room, why they're there, to get some understanding from you, this is what the Bible says, these are a couple of scriptures for you, do you believe that? Yes, brilliant. Are you willing to repent? What's happening? It means, you know, and just lead them through, and then pray with them, and then help them into a group that we will tell you about. They're going to be some guy who's doing
it.
Yes. During A61, part of the training will be, well, definitely stuff on deliverance and then healing on healing. And in the gospel, we will teach you how to read it through the Christ individually, personally, and stuff. Anything else? Yeah, I think I already mentioned this. There'll be some new arrivals, and they'll be arriving then. So it'll be nice to, enjoy these first few months together, because this is something special about us at last, because God brought us together at first. This is the little cave of Adullam. And, just think, something special about that. So enjoy each other, and then Let's have a big open heart for people in there to love them and let them not feel like you can as well. We'll have an orientation night for them outside of us as well. So they'll get this stuff and they'll just jump straight into even heart healing.
Wow,
which would be awesome. And then, what's the, and that's the end of the world. Was that it?
That's it.
Oh, that's it. Praise of the Lord! You can come up, bro. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Defer.
really just a couple of things that, you know, we're doing the Holy Spirit now, and I really do feel like the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me about A61, and particularly about you guys. And really the first thing that I want to say is, don't take this for granted. Alright, do not think that this is a program that we all breeze through together. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is really important. In many ways, this church starts now. Do you know what I mean? Route 61 is all about receiving and receiving and receiving. And that's awesome. And boy, did we need it. And we'll continue to need it. And at any time, if you want to jump back onto the Route 61 for 3 months because your life's needing it, then do it. You know, there's no weakness in going back and doing a Route 61. In fact, it takes a lot of courage to do that. I'll probably be there with you. And some of you are doing both, I know. But, you know, someone once said to me when I first ever started weight training, you know, no pain, no gain, and you get out what you put in. Well, God doesn't quite work like that, actually. He always blesses you way more than you ever put in. But, you know, in love, don't drift through this. Don't rock up every Tuesday night, plonk yourself down, and let someone feed you. Pray before you come. Get here with an attitude of really wanting this, and you'll be blessed. You really, really, really will be blessed. And I think the second thing to say is, make the most of this small number. Because the day is coming, Gina, the day is coming, when you'll say, flipping heck, do you remember when, if you wanted to speak to someone in our church, you just have to find them on the top floor of St. Mary's Centre. You know, when a wave of revival hits and lots of people come in, you won't have that luxury. So make the most of this. This is a special group, this. You're originals. You're the first A61 ever. We'll have a book photograph of it. And the third thing to say, really, is something that Mark, just to sort of agree with mine when he was talking about serving. Can you just tell the story about Peter Vandenberg? Blew me away, Peter Vandenberg story. Peter Vandenberg is a bloke we met last week. He's Reinhard Bonnke's right-hand man. Awesome, humble, beautiful guy. He's the bloke that prayed with us. Tears in his eyes. And, you know, we were like, wow, you know. And it was kind of like a, you know, a glow kind of prayer, you know. When Peter Vandenberg first met Reinhard Bonnke, he said, I want to, he had his own ministry, but he said, I want to come and work with you. And Reinhard Bonnke said, I don't need anyone. And he went, I'll do anything. I'll do absolutely anything you want. And Bonnke went, with your skills, I can't use you. I can't do anything. And Peter Vandenberg went, I'll do anything. Anything you want. He said, well, we need a mechanic. We need someone to fix engines and get stuff working, get vehicles working and generators working for when we're out in the fields in Africa. And he gave up his own ministry and said, all right, I'll do that. And for years he did. For years. He had a spanner in his hand and overalls on. You'd have loved him. And he tinkered with engines and he got generators working and he fixed light bulbs and he did all the practical stuff. Meanwhile, the CFAN head team were hitting brick wall after brick wall. Strategies weren't working, ministries were struggling, and they were really, really in a bit of a pickle. And Peter Vandenberg would walk through the office to get some more Swarovski. And for those of you who don't know what it is, it gets oil off your hands. Because he was busy, you know, working on vehicles and stuff. And he'd walk through the boardroom or wherever these guys were having a conversation. And someone would say, "Well, I have a real problem with this," and he'd overhear it, and he'd go, "Why don't you do that?" And they'd go, "Oh yeah, great idea, thanks to Peter. Good luck with the engines, by the way." And he'd wander off and just humbly serve. And after a while, of these one-liners that completely changed the strategy of where CFAM were going, Ryan Bonkey suddenly went, "I think he should be on the senior leadership team of this organisation. Put your rags down, clean your hands, put a fresh shirt on, you've just been promoted." Serving is really important. We'll fall down where people don't serve, do you know that? If there's a job to be done, it's one of you that's going to do it. And if there's a hole, it's probably you that's going to need to fill it. And if you sit there thinking, "Why doesn't this church do this? Why doesn't this church do this? I think it's disgraceful this church doesn't do this." It's probably you that's meant to do it. Just have a think about that. But really, can I just, you know, let's dive in together on this programme and really go for it. Really go for it.
Right, so what we're going to do now is break out into groups of about 5 to 6. It does not have to be all men or all women, you can do, be mixed groups. We're going to stand up at the back into groups. The two questions we want you to discuss in your groups is, the first one is, what do I want to get from from A61? What do I want to get from A61? And how do you feel about A61? You might feel like apprehensive or excited or a bit scared or what have you. So if we all just, and pray in your groups as well, and give each one an opportunity to share. So if we want to stand up and move to the back and get into groups. So it's specifically them two questions about what we want to get out of A61.